Governor Charlie Baker and State Attorney General Maura Healey today release a task force report with recommendations for a strategy to address the growing opioid crisis in the state. Meantime, an agency run by the Boston Public Health Commission, founded to slow the spread of disease to drug users, now finds itself on the front lines of the addiction crisis. WBUR's Deborah Becker visited the Clean Needle Exchange Program called AHOPE.
Lining the yellow walls of a small, brightly lit room in a building on Albany Street are obituaries of those who've recently died of drug overdoses.
Most of those are our loved ones, our friends, two boys up there. So my mom's lost 2 out of 3 children. My son's father is up there.
Nicole Oakes is a health advocate with the Boston Public Health Commission. It runs this needle exchange program called AHOPE. Oakes does everything from helping to get people into drug treatment to training people how to use the anti-overdose drug Narcan, which she says her son's father had with him when he died.
He died with Narcan in his bag. Just incredibly devastating. It seems like it's just going to completely wipe out my entire generation.
The AHOPE program used to be mobile. It was run out of a van that distributed clean needles for free in various areas of Boston. But once the program started operating here 2 years ago, the staff immediately knew they had hit a nerve.
Since we opened the drop-in, we've seen a 300% increase in people coming through.
300%
increase, yeah, more or less.
Sarah Mackin, the program manager, says most clients come to the center for clean injecting equipment.
They can get clean supplies, clean needles, clean ancillary injecting supplies, which is primarily aiming at preventing hepatitis C and HIV transmission. They can come in and get a referral to treatment. Anything that you can really think of, we'll try to do here.
The ultimate objective of the agency, says Mackin, is saving lives. The group hands out about 200 Narcan kits a month, and last year, AHOPE distributed more than 150,000 clean needles.
Can't even tell you how many times a day, not just like a week or a month, that people come in and say, if I don't get into treatment, I'm going to die.
So referring people to treatment has become a big part of AHOPE's focus. The agency sends clients across their hallway to the PATHS program, where a caseworker will make what are often repeated calls to find a bed.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. It's Jake over at PAPS. How are you? Good, thanks. So I know Jeff called earlier. By any chance, do you have any new bed availability for males or females? Nothing. If anything opens up, do you mind calling me?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Yalika Cardenas, program manager for PATHS, says one reason why Massachusetts had more than 1,000 opioid overdose deaths last year is because of the state's fragmented treatment system. Many people come to her after a non-fatal overdose. She says hospitals often release people with lists of places to call for treatment, and then they come to her.
This week alone, I know of 3 clients that actually had overdoses this week, and it was part of them not being able to find a detox bed. And so they came in again to try again and again to have us make the phone call. So a lot of people find that if one of us, like some of the staff, make the phone call, that perhaps they have a higher chance of getting in.
Cardenas says people coming out of detox have an even harder time finding long-term treatment, and many of them end up back in homeless shelters.
Next thing you know, you don't get into further treatment. You're kicked back to the street.
28-year-old Benjamin from Waltham didn't want his last name used because of the stigma of drug addiction. He went to 3 detoxes and was sent to what are called holdings, typically state-funded facilities where patients stay while they wait for treatment. The problem, Benjamin says, is that many of these holdings run very differently from each other, and they often kick people out who don't immediately comply with their rules, which is what happened to him. So he went right back to the streets.
And the next thing you know, you're sleeping at night, some guy shooting up next to you, and then he offers you a shot. You're not going to say no because you're like, well, I can't get into a program, you know, so why not get high?
After Benjamin was arrested for stealing to support his $300-a-day heroin habit, he realized that his life was out of control. Although he had graduated from college, he no longer had a job, and he had lost contact with his family. He knew the staff at the needle exchange program because he had been getting his needles there, so he asked them for help.
They got me into a detox program, and from there it just took. It was just the time, you know, I was ready to get sober.
When Benjamin now comes to Albany Street to get his daily methadone dose, he also volunteers at AHOPE for about an hour a day, which he says is what helps keep him sober.
It saves a lot of people. It saved me because I see it. I get to see it every day. You know, it might not just be the staff people that save me, but like other people that come in through here. Because I don't want to do some of the things that some of these people have done for drugs, you know. And that's what saves me every day.
Benjamin knows he's lucky, and he hopes the Opioid Task Force report will include recommendations on ways to improve treatment and to boost access to treatment. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.